All right. Words of wisdom. All the way from 1973. That's Jimmy Cliff with Sooner or Later. Sooner or later, he says, you've got to stand up tall. Sooner or later, your back's going to be up against the wall. And that is from his 1973 album, Struggling Man. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is that? Well, Free Your Mind Friday is an open forum. We suspend the regular programming format and open up the phone lines so that you can express your opinion about something that is important to you and which you want to share with others. But, you know, it is not a gab fest. It's not for you. It's not casual talk. It is not meant to be casual talk. It is meant to be purposeful and enlightening, where you can speak freely and frankly, but also, as you speak, you are giving us an indication that you have invested some kind of thought, some kind of planning, or you have a mission as you start out in conveying an idea, and then, of course, in relating that idea, you're defending your position. This is meant to help everyone get better at the business of making a case in a public arena without fear, without trepidation, without uncertainty. You develop a sense of confidence about what it is you're talking about, and that's what this is all about. So you call 888-874-4888 and you tell us what it is you are about to tell us. Okay? You tell us what you're going to tell us, then you get on the air and you tell us. And then we decide whether it was worth listening to you. In some cases, I may decide it before a whole bunch of other people decide that. If you're not making sense, I'll just move on to the next person. But the idea is that this is purposeful. People complain all the time. Sometimes they have something they want to say. It is not linked or germane to the topic being discussed at the time. But they think they have an opinion and they'd like to share it. Well, this is a time. It's an open forum. There is no programmed topic. So you can express yourself and tell us what it is. You may hear some background noise, a lot of background noise. There is construction. There's always construction going on. And true to form, they usually start where I live. Right outside of my house is where the construction or the repairs or whatever it is they're doing has started today. It would have been nice and courteous for them to have given me a head start that there would be a lot of noise, but we can cope. If it gets really outrageous, I'll go outside with my broom and do battle in your name. Okay. The number to call is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I don't have before me a list of people. I'm going to make sure that we can do that right away. that we'll know who's up first and what it is they're going to be talking about. See, it's really true. I don't know what people want to talk about. We'll know when they start. And if they're meeting all of the requirements, meaning that you have something important to say, and you are telling us what that important thing is, and you are following a logical course, that makes sense. Okay, this is airtime. It's precious. A lot of people want to get on the air. So in as much as you are on the air or going to be on the air, you better make sense. Don't think that this is just a gab fest where you could just talk off the top of your head. It is so irritating to me to listen to someone who is not prepared to speak about whatever it is they say is important to them. So that is why it's very, very often when people complain and say, well, we don't get a chance to speak, but here's your chance. Here's your chance. But it's not for you to just get on the air and yammer. That's not what we do here. Okay? All right. 888-874-4888. Who's up first? Jeremiah from Harlem is up first. And let's hear what he has to say. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hello, Eutrice. It's always an honor and a pleasure, and thank you for opening this forum to your listeners. I hate to be a one-trick pony, but I'm going to harp on this vaccine issue and the vaccine mandate issue. And it appears to me quite clear that this vaccine is causing an inordinate level of injury in people. And I'm just wondering how long the cat can be kept in the bag in regard to that, because first of all, you have the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is the only way of monitoring this. And it's been activated more than in decades, than in the entire history of the system. It suddenly spikes up in response to the appearance of these vaccines. Over 2 million adverse events reported, almost 20,000 people dead in, you know, possibly in association with the vaccine, tens of thousands of permanent injuries, and people are being told they have to take this, and that the people who made this have legal protection. If you get injured, you did your American duty. We just give you an American salute, and that's all that we can do for you. You're crippled for life now. You're dead, you're crippled, and your family has to live with that, has to survive in your absence. So, you know, it's unconscionable to me what's happening, and it's so absurd, because I remember your anger with the Democratic Party, Eutrice, and I was very inspired by your anger at that time, and I share that anger, and my anger has persisted, and I find it so amazing that Biden himself, Pelosi herself, Fauci, the unelected Fauci himself, all said, well, we can't mandate vaccines just a few months ago, and then just turned around and did that. So why is that acceptable, to have leaders who will say something, precisely contradict themselves, and then we just aren't outraged by that? We just say, oh, okay, you did the opposite of what you said. That's fine. It shouldn't be fine. And it's really insane when you think of a character like Biden. I mean, I hate to be disgusting here, but I mean, this man is suffering from incontinence, apparently. He's going around and passing gas uncontrollably in major diplomatic
settings. Don't put it that way. He's going around and passing gas.
He is. It was caught on video, Eutrice. Sorry. I mean,
the visual of it is doing things to my mind.
It gets worse, and I won't even go into it, Eutrice. But the point is, who is he making a medical recommendation? We wanted infrastructure. We wanted a cure to the ills in our community. We wanted some proactive programs to deal with issues like employment and infrastructure and something moving forward. And all you have is a medical mandate? You're not a doctor, and we know you're not a doctor. So who are the medical experts? They just keep saying very generally and vaguely, experts. Well, what experts at this point? Because there are other experts over here saying that you're wrong and you're being dangerous. So, you know, I just can't believe what's going on. And I just feel like, you know, this is an issue that can't be tucked away as just one of the many issues. This is something that people need to face sooner or later, because there's a lot of people who think, oh, well, I'm going to take the shot, but I'm not going to take the booster. Well, you're not up to date on your vaccine passport if you didn't take your booster. You know, I know someone who was telling me I need to take the vaccine and took it, and they didn't feel that great after the first shot. And now they can't get employment. Now they're sympathizing with me. Damn, I was wrong, man. You know, came back, and now they're in the same boat that I'm in. They're not eligible for the work they were going to do because they didn't get the second shot.
So what do you recommend as a workable solution as to how people should maneuver at this time?
Well, I think there's some good organizations that are active. There's the New York Freedom Rally that has been educating people about their legal rights. You know, I think people need to connect with other friends. I made a group of friends who exchange articles and information every day. And, you know, I think we can't just talk about it and just keep learning about it. We do need to engage in a wide range of actions. But I think we need to be well-versed in what our principles are in the matter. And, you know, one thing that's a real game changer, or what would be a game changer if people were alert and not in this zombie-like state that we've been put into. But one thing that's come forth is, what do you know? Pfizer, the old dog, is doing their old tricks, and it appears that they have falsified their safety data leading up to the release of this emergency vaccine that actually injured, and they discounted that.
I did get people primed for this.
It's okay.
It's right outside of my window, so
yeah,
there's nothing I can do about
it. It's normal for me. But, you know, but Pfizer apparently is doing what they've already been found guilty of previously, which is they falsified their safety data. They have to do their safety trials. And, for example, a young girl, not sure her exact age, but a girl was crippled in the trials, and they have her listed as having a stomach ache. There were other people, a very touching testimony from a woman I heard who was severely injured, permanently injured during the trial, and because she took one shot and didn't take the second shot, she was just cut out of the trial and considered a non-participant. Well, no, that's an injured individual that needs to be entered into the safety data. So, you know, these things have been leaked, and of course it's not making it to the news, because the news, again, is not just aligned with pharma. They are integrated with pharma, as Robert Malone put it. So, you know, this is something that we need to get on top of, because to me, the scary hypothetical becoming real is the worst measures that are being implemented in Australia, in LA, in New York, in various countries where they're being more draconian about this. If you add that all up into one place and you say this is how you exist in a modern city, that is a scary new existence. And we need to get these people off of us, basically.
Thank you. Thank you for offering your opinion today on the vaccine, the latest reactions to the vaccine. Thanks so much. Up next, Harvey from Berkeley. Hello, Harvey.
Hello, fabulous, you trees.
Hello, fabulous, Harvey. What's going on?
Well, the stars in the sky just want to say hi to you and your vast worldwide audience. And what I'm about to share is not an original idea, but it's an idea whose time has arrived. Roughly one quarter of America's malls are expected to close in the next 3 to 5 years amid the rise of e-commerce. These abandoned malls will become economic dead zones as they deteriorate and become a drain on the local municipality. The good news is that working with their local elected officials, communities across America can lease or buy these dead malls and transform them into local green campuses. And local green campuses would really help to reduce the community's carbon footprint by making them urban showcases for renewable energy generation and storage. Solar panels and photovoltaic roof shingles, as well as the use of bird-friendly wind turbines and state-of-the-art battery technology, can turn these dead malls into clean energy providers with any excess electricity being sold to the local grid operator. Unfortunately, there's also been news of potential food shortages due to climate destabilization, which is brought on by our unrelenting burning of fossil fuels. And local green campuses could include greenhouses as well as outdoor community organic gardens, because nothing tastes better and is more nutritious than locally grown organic fruits and vegetables. Local green campuses could also feature thriving organic farmers markets, as well as healthy indoor and outdoor restaurants located in and around the organic gardens. And there could be educational and recreational programs for every age group, including daycare for the kids and senior exercise, art classes, and gardening programs for the elderly. Earth-sustaining products and crafts could also be manufactured and sold on site according to community needs. So local green campuses could signal a return to a more natural lifestyle, as well as a healthier and happier way of life. It's time to turn America's dead malls into green, local green campuses with flowers and organic gardens for all. Thank you. Thank you, wonderful Yatrice.
Thank you. But hold on for a second.
Sure.
How many malls could be fixed into this new purpose?
Well,
has there been a calculation?
That's a changing number, because as our society goes more and more towards e-commerce, there'll be less and less people going to malls. They'll get all their stuff delivered to them from Amazon and all the other companies. So it's a number that's changing all the time. But I think that hundreds of malls across America will become dead malls over the next few years. And I think that local municipalities should take advantage of this situation. Instead of ending up with an eyesore, they'll end up with a robust green mall community that'll really be a benefit to all the local people.
That's a great idea. Thank you. Thanks for offering that for our consideration. John from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, there's a little delay. So, first of all, I have to apologize for going off the rails yesterday, but fortunately, I wasn't on the phone when I did it. I have a question, and the question is, who is the most hypocritical country on the planet? That's my question that I put forth to anybody who's listening to this program. The idea about using the malls for the purposes that that gentleman was talking about is excellent. I was thinking about just turning them into apartments and the parking lots into farms surrounding those malls, so that they could, in fact, with greenhouses, no doubt, they could, in fact, support themselves and make their own food. Again, what country is the most hypocritical country on the planet? And with that, I'm going to say goodbye and let somebody else talk. You have a good day.
Okay. Thank you, John. 888-874-4888. I was expecting not a question, but that you had something to offer other than a question. You didn't get it. 888-874-4888. We have someone, Ms. Snow from New York. You're on the air?
Yes. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Okay, I'm puzzled, and I'll tell you why. On this program, we tend to personalize ourselves. Ms. Snow doesn't mean anything to me, and it doesn't mean anything to the audience. It means something to you, but I doubt your name is Ms. Snow.
No, it's not. It's just an acronym because my name is Asian and it's long, and most Americans do not take the time out to really try to understand Asian names. So I tried to make it as brief as possible. My first name is Paravati Durga Kalitara, and my last name is Miss Nitya Omega. So I say, well, let me make it a little easy for the other person. So I said, just call me Miss No. And my my mind statement for your program today is I'm very disturbed behind why not enough Americans or people from around the world, for that matter, is not really coming out to the street and protesting this here mandated COVID vaccine that is really harming a lot of people. It doesn't matter what country. It's just that our bodies are not supposed to digest or redigest stem cells, aborted stem cells from fetuses in our bodies. You're not supposed to process that. And then you have nanotechnology that there's rumors that there's some type of iridescent statement or staple something in the vaccine that can radiate or glow, and it can track people. Come on. Are we, like, really that deaf, dumb, and blind and can't see that they're really these pharmaceutical companies or these fascist countries are trying to enslave us and are on a sophisticated level, an open laboratory, so to speak. You don't have to go to a hospital. You don't have to be in a laboratorium. You just use that community, that country, as an open laboratory. And we'll see if this here works or if it don't. And if the people die, so what? We'll just disintegrate them and start anew and perfect whatever we whatever the agenda is. I believe in my heart of hearts that that's wrong. I don't have any children, and I think it's wrong for those who are the superheroes for their families that have precious ones that they have to consider on, you know, in vaccinating your child, you know, but something that these people, whether it's the government or the immediate city mayor, is saying that you have to be vaccinated. That's totally against what we're supposed to have as our inalienable rights as freedom, and that's really wrong. I feel that this is very dangerous. It's very dangerous, and I would, if the government want to take that step to be safe, then the government should say, okay, I know we don't have the background to do this. I'm not a PhD in this field. Okay, so then we're going to make sure you have free health care. So if something happens to you, your family, your entire family, whoever has this vaccine can be, not responsible for any health care bills. And we will take care of your family. We'll see that all their needs are met as long as they live and as long as they need to take the vaccine. Now, if there's something wrong with the vaccine, then they should be halted and aborted. And not only that, I think we should run to the street. We should really go out and protest more than we are doing because this is insane. And my eyes are wide open. I don't know if anyone else is, or maybe people are just that ignorant or brainwashed and thinking, okay, we're going to let the government figure it out. But yet and still, they're killing off people. This is horrible. This is so horrible. So what's going to happen to the future generation? And why is it that Bill Gates is not locked in chains and in Guantanamo Bay somewhere waiting for his execution because he never had no medical background or no type of PhD in any type of field to have biological weaponry in his vault in his house. He was just a gadget maker. He made a gadget. Yes, it was very popular, but he has no right to have this weaponry, this biological weaponry in his vault in his house. So he and everybody else should be really totally eradicated. That might be sound harsh, but then it would be a purging, and we should see that on nationwide TV, because then that will spell an end to terrorism and everything else that is totally, absolutely wrong, that's devastating the whole world. That's all I'd like to say. What do you have to say?
Yes, but it is a very heavy statement that you're making, and you're making it sound so pleasant. We just need to eradicate them.
I'm trying to say
you're advocating the extermination of people, and you dare to say that they are the ones who are imposing their will on the people of the world. I mean, really, how do you square those two things?
Well, I'm trying to have some rationale, thinking that there was some type of something to make them think, well, maybe it is a good thing in some way, and it just got bent out of shape and it went in the haywire. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt there was a positive something in it. But it could be positive. It could be positive in one sense. But the point is that it's too early. If you can recall, at one time, if you had the symptoms, everybody was supposed to get tested. Now they're like gung-ho, now, and even children 4 years of age and up have to get inoculated. And a lot of people are dying and having negative reactions, So I don't understand how our government, those who are in the judicial system, even the Supreme Court, can allow this, because this is crazy. And I think it's absolutely wrong. And I pray and feel for the mothers and the fathers, the superheroes of their families who have to hold their child or their loved one for one last time before their breath is gone, because they are dying from this COVID variations as well as COVID-19 vaccination. It's a horrible thing to hold someone for the last time in your arms and watch their breath wither away. And it's a personal thing. And I think that we as Americans shouldn't have to, or anyone in any country should have to experience that, because life is precious. And that's all I
want. And what would make your approach far more practical and humane and, in fact, helpful?
In regards to, I don't feel that the COVID vaccine, this vaccination is something of any substance. I believe that we have an immune system, and I believe that if we all were to just bite the bullet, discipline ourselves, and become more vegan, I think the body is capable of regenerating itself. I don't think we really need a large pharmaceutical company to do all these crazy things with medicine and organic medical metals and stuff like that. We don't need that in our body. All we need to do is really go within and really have a heart-to-heart talk and say, look, I know if I eat white sugar and salt and white rice and all these enriched things, that I'm going to get inflammation. I'm going to get these other diseases.
But, I'm listening to you, and I haven't yet been able to extract from your presentation a concrete rationale for what it is you want to do or what it is you think ought to be done. You don't seem to have an answer either. So what are people supposed to do? Listening to you, listening to the pharmaceutical companies, listening to the government, nobody has at this time a firm answer or firm recommendation other than, of course, what they have said. But we don't have a sense that there's consensus in these various communities about what they think is a workable idea that would not imperil people, even as they try to tackle this question of the virus.
Well, in my opinion, I do believe that Gary Null, if people were to really be honest and want to know the truth and don't deviate from the truth, excuse me, my friend is trying to tell me something here. If they were just to listen and open-heartedly listen to Gary Null, I think Gary Null would be a start. I also believe it's not one straightforward answer that I can give you because everyone's different and everybody's on a different level of awareness. But I truly believe that if we were to go in within ourselves, within our one-to-one, within our own hearts, and just make a foundation for truth and let truth stand alone and guide us, we will find the answers to a lot of these problems. And we will get rid of these people who are they're very selfish and they're very afraid of the truth. A lot of these people are, in my opinion, have skeletons in their closet and they don't want to confront the truth or their errors of what they have done in the past with medicine and what they have, kept concealed. We need to know the truth and stand for the truth, no matter what it reveals, because that's only way we're going to heal as a nation, as an individual.
Well, thank you very much. And I want to thank you also for explaining Ms. Snow.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd be very proud of your name. A lot of thought went into giving you that name.
Well,
be very proud of it. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. It's an open forum. You can present your idea. Hopefully, you will present ideas that back up your idea and facts that back up your idea so that you're not just talking from the ether. You've given this considered thought and you have a recommendation to make. So let's hear what that is based on what you have invested in terms of research. All right, Sonia from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hi, Denise. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
I've been watching the Aubrey trial. I'm on Aubrey trial on and off. It's very painful. But every time I see the footage of him entering that project site, I just imagine him imagining his dream house, what the rooms would look like, what would be the materials, and what would be the paint colors. And I find it so heartbreaking to watch this trial and to see this poor young man's dreams just shattered and his family shattered and the community shattered. And it just breaks my heart. But I'm sure he was just dreaming about his dream home. And as far as what your previous caller said, we need to find our own religion, this worshiping of these medical authorities. It's a substitute in my mind for God. We're looking to be led, and we're looking for hope and promises, and we're looking in the wrong direction. I really think that we have to revisit our roots in terms of religion, our religious upbringing, or whatever religion inspires us. I think that's what's missing in us, and that's why we're so lost, and that's why we are being misled so many times by these by these leaders of ours, medical and otherwise, who may be well-intentioned, but certainly are not doing a very good job.
Well, number one, I would ask, what would be the good, or how would you define this process of finding God?
Well, I think it starts with intentions. What are your intentions for yourself, for your life? What are your intentions for your neighbors? Is it love? Is it respect? I think that's the only gauge that we can go by. What are true intentions in everything that we do? And it's a very hard thing to implement. We're moving so fast through time that we don't even have.
I have to apologize again for the noise. There's nothing I can do about it. They scheduled all this repairs and so forth. There was nothing posted that prepared the folks here, you know, so like me, I could move someplace else or, you know, but they just started and that's it. So we'll put up with it and get through the day. But continue.
I just think it's a matter of introspection. What are our intentions for ourselves in everything that we do? And what are our intentions for others?
Now, when you say this, okay, where is this coming from? What inspired you to come to these thoughts?
I think the lockdowns have given me plenty of time to think about myself and think about life and think about this world that we live in. And I feel deeply concerned for myself and for other people. I hate to see people suffering. I can't. It doesn't matter who they are or where they come from. It just deeply affects me. And I just don't know how to change this. How can I make this better? What can I do? Well, I start with myself. What else can I do? I start with the.
And looking at this case, who do you think needed the help the most that you're talking about, the kind of help you're talking about? Or where do you see it missing most?
About the Ahmaud Arbery case?
Yes.
They could not, their intention, they didn't, these killers, their lives are ruined. Regardless as to whether they deserve to have their lives ruined or not, their lives are ruined. But that young man, just looking through his eyes, and I know nothing about him because, again, it's too painful for me to watch this. Looking at him, look through his eyes and imagine what he was imagining and seeing. How hard is that? It's not that hard. I mean, just if we can put ourselves in the shoes of another person and imagine our needs, our aspirations, our dreams, I think that will bring a lot of healing and cohesion. And I think that's what we need. And it's just devastating. Over and over again.
Do you recognize that at the very moment when these two separate, this group, the first group of three men and Ahmaud, who was jogging, when their paths crossed, what do you imagine was the, how could I say, what do you imagine was the point of contact? What did that consist of?
You know, I think that these cowboys were attempting to justify their racism, their utter hatred, under the guise of, you know, a citizen's arrest, and that's why it was being filmed. It wasn't being filmed to capture a killing. It was being filmed to capture a citizen's arrest, which would, you know, provide immunity to them from any liability. We arrested him. It's on film. We did a good deed. But you see, their intention is what is going to destroy them completely. Maybe not by sending them to jail, but by their soul rotting with guilt and shame, which is inevitable. They thought they were doing a good deed, and the film was going to prove it all. That's what this whole thing was about. They weren't trying to film a killing, but their hatred overtook their intentions. It overtook their actions. And that's where we each have to be so careful. What are our intentions? Are they well-meaning? Are they honest? Are we being honest? And we have to do that every single day, because it's so easy to hurt ourselves and to hurt others, to cause irreversible loss. And it's terrible. It's really a terrible thing. And it's just...
Have you given thought to the fact that in our experience, in our collective experience, the hurt tends to be experienced by one group, and the intention to hurt and inflict hurt tends to be preponderant in another group? Does that bother you?
It bothers me, but I don't believe that someone who commits such suffering on another is ever free of guilt, entirely free of guilt. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you can kill someone, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and never, ever stop thinking about that act. Stop thinking about what that person lost. They have to be thinking about that. The whole world is thinking about this. How could they not be thinking about it? At some point, the volume of people who are aware of this killing weighs down upon these killers. Everyone knows. I'm sure these people walking around hiding their faces from even their own community, because everyone is looking at them. Everyone knows what they did. They cannot escape.
Yes, but not everyone disapproves, you see. This is a thing. They're quite comfortable doing what they did because it comes also not just from a personal decision, but also from a group conditioning that leads an individual to believe that they're acting pretty much in accordance with how the rest of the group would have acted.
Well,
that they have that tacit approval.
Well, I think that's being taken away little by little. When you have to go to court, you have to go to trial and justify your killing. That's not consensus. That isn't consensus. I mean, they think that they did the right thing. They think they were doing the right thing. I think what happened here was that they didn't expect Ahmaud Arbery to fight back, to fight for his life.
But they also didn't see. There's no evidence that the community fought back. There's no evidence yet that the community as a community expressed its disapproval of that kind of behavior, the killing of an innocent person. The community was very quiet, still is. And silence, their silence would seem to suggest they have no problem with what happened.
No, I think they're afraid and ashamed. I think they're afraid of speaking against what happened, and I think they're ashamed for allowing this to happen. I think they're all ashamed.
Well,
look at the way the police behaved when they arrived on the scene. There was like no police there, really. That was not a police presence, okay?
No, there was not, except, you know, that one of the shooters, one of the killers, I should say, was a former police officer. That's what? The father of the young man who fired the shots.
Yes, it's, I know.
It's a situation that bears minute, finite analysis, because nobody is clean. Nobody is clean in this.
No one. And I'm sure this will
the whole community, and they would say it's unfair to indict a whole community because of the actions of a few. But then again, we say, well, where's the evidence that the community affirmed its high standards, its high morality?
Exactly.
In the direct aftermath of this, nothing, not even up until now.
Nothing. It's true. But I'm sure they are red-faced with shame and humility.
Yeah, well, you know, you could be red-faced all you want with shame. The fact is, that does not help the situation.
But
and
I don't think
we can't see your red face with shame.
I don't think this will ever happen again there. I don't think that this will ever happen again. And it's a shame that it's going to take the time.
It doesn't matter whether it happens again. The point is it happened. And we are looking at a community in terms of its own reaction. What responsibility did it think that it had to do something to indicate to the world, these people who did this, they're not us. They're not of us. And we are not, you know, like them. We're very different. They're not.
Yes.
They're concerned about their red faces and shame.
I know, but that's I think, the most that we can expect from these people.
I don't expect anything from people except what they profess. Every Sunday they're in church praising God, following the Ten Commandments, putting their hands over their hearts, and they're very proud of America and its principles. But very quiet when somebody is murdered right at their doorstep.
Well, they're all in on it. You know, the police, the DA was in on it. I mean, the whole...
And that's what we have to understand. We have to understand the nature of these things, how people would tend to behave, and what it therefore compels us to do. If only as a matter of self-protection. Thanks so much for calling and contributing today. I really appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, you Chiefs. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to, I mean, I've heard this before about this Ahmaud Arbery case and this concept of citizen's arrest. There is no such thing as a citizen's arrest. You watch too much television if you believe in that. There is no state other than Texas that empowers civilians to interact as law enforcement. You have no right to make a citizen's arrest. If anything, those three men were trying to kidnap Ahmaud Arbery for their own purposes, be it justification. And as far as red-faced people or embarrassed people, this is part and parcel of America. America is based on this racist concept that one group of people, based on their flesh tone, is better than another group of people. And that's what empowered these men. And that's why this community is so silent. They feel no shame or embarrassment, in my personal opinion, because time and time again, from George Zimmerman to Yusuf Hawkins to Trayvon Martin, all of these Sandra Bland, all of these incidents involve the white supremacy and the white privilege that these people tend to entail, and the justice system has more than often let them go. And until we really understand that and fight against that, we're always going to have this situation in this country. The Dred Scott decision, even though it's been overturned, is still on the books. is still on the Supreme Court books, even though the decision has been overturned. But it hasn't been stricken, and there are a lot of white people in this country that believe that a black man doesn't have any rights that they are obligated to respect.
Okay. You're leaving it there?
That's it. I mean, I heard a lot of things people said, some people called in, other discussions that I've had. And that, the main fundamental thing with both of these cases now and the cases in the past is that African Americans in this country, rights are not respected. And when these people walk on these cases, like George Zimmerman and others, when they walk on these cases, that reinforces it. And that's what really bends me out of freaking shape, because these guys walk on these cases. This Rittenhouse boy, they're making him like a hero, like he was doing something proper. How does a 17-year-old kid cross state lines with an AR-15? His mother drives him there. She doesn't get prosecuted, and this is not pertinent to the case. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's really disgusting that at this day and age, we still got to go through this garbage.
Thank you. Thanks for your opinion and for contributing today. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You know, that's one thing I want to make a comment about. This is, I think, the most polite audience there is. Everybody says good afternoon and hello and whatnot in the way that I would love the whole nation to act. You start off right by acknowledging and saluting the person that you're speaking to. That's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you for your show, and I want to commend Harvey. He always lifts my spirits. He's always so positive. And then the other day, I was really, really touched by Ed. He spent a lot of time discussing the trial and all the aspects. And I wanted to just follow up with a couple things. You know, I called last week about the trial and the jury composition. But I wanted to say that one of the reasons Ed pointed out the number of percentage of people of color that live in that district where the Georgia trial is taking place. But a lot of reasons why people don't serve on juries, and we need to be aware of these things so we can increase, if you so desire, your participation in jury selection. One, registered to vote. In New York, if you're a felon, you can't vote, but you can register in other states. And people should really participate, as somebody else always calls in and says, about their local politicians. They need to be aware of who these people are if they're elected to office. That goes for the prosecutors as well as the judges. Now, I don't know if you read, I just read online last night, that the defense attorney in the Aubrey case, he objected to Reverend Sharpton being in the courtroom. And he told, he made an objection to the judge saying that these black pastors are coming in and trying to intimidate the jurors. So the judge commented that he wasn't even aware that Reverend Sharpton was there. And as far as anyone can come to a public courtroom, as long as they, you know, exercise decorum and don't disrupt the proceedings. So these are the kinds of things that we need to be aware of, that we can participate even by showing up in cases where it's critical. And, you know, as long as you follow the protocol and procedure, you should be allowed to sit in the courtroom. Now, the other issue that I wanted to raise, and I'm not being critical of the woman who called, her voice is kind of low, so I couldn't hear everything. But she was talking about people needing to know God or have a God figure in their lives and not rely on the figures in society that promote, you know, these different stations of or occupations or whatever you want to call them, and that people just acquiesce and turn everything over to them like they're all powerful. I don't have any problem with what she was saying, but I was kind of disheartened by the fact that she didn't seem to accept that there are forces and they operate through people who are wicked in this world, and that these forces operate through people and structures in our society. And the very purpose, one of the purposes, is to maintain power and to oppress others so that they can maintain their power. And I don't know why she thinks that, not only her, there are other people in the world that think, oh, how can somebody just do something that's purely evil and not feel that? Well, that's a theological question. I'm not going to go down that road, even though I studied theology. But there are forces in this world that worship and serve evil. And evil means when you oppress, kill, maim, harm any other group of people or persons, or you construct what I call a demonarchy. You have a construction of a system that oppresses, kills, hurts, harms people. And it's not only in the United States. It's all over the world. So I would hope and pray that people begin to be more aware of that. And I agree with her that everyone has an individual responsibility to examine their lives and their positions and see, are they living in a way that harms others? And even nature, like Harvey, that was a wonderful idea he had about the malls, because the buildings could be used for homeless people and or schools or all kinds of things the buildings could be used for, and the parking lots could be turned into gardens and green spaces. So I'm just saying that we need to do, and I agree with her what she said about being home and being confined because of the COVID pandemic. Hopefully people have learned to reflect and question and examine. But, you know, we can't just acquiesce our whole being, our whole existence, and feel that we're hopeless. So I really appreciate your program. I appreciate Free Your Mind. And I just want to say some of the other listeners have really encouraged me, because I sometimes feel discouraged. And I was very, I'm always heartened by Ed and heartened by Harvey. So you have a wonderful weekend, and I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I want
to. All right. Well, you're perfect because you ended right on time. We've come to the end of our program today, and you brought it to a wonderful, smooth end. You're a professional. I don't care what you say. Thanks so much for calling. Thanks, everyone, for calling and contributing today. That's the whole point. We're building community, but we're also building the skills of communicating what we know, what we feel, and how we can contribute to the larger process of moving forward with each other. So that's very, very important. Thank you so much. It's the weekend. Give yourself a break and relax a little bit. And come back in fighting mode on Monday. Bye-bye.